It says here, you don't have it, but I get a little order of worship handed to me, and it says, it's stroked out, but I knew it was there. It says, Breakdance Message, Devon. No, okay, good. I was just, because I was ready to hurt my back on that one just to please man. Sorry. How many of you are excited this morning to actually be in the house of God? Amen. I'm excited to be here and worship God. And there's nothing greater than not only having a wonderful dedication and presentation of children, but to worship God and then hear the elders' direction and challenging us for 52 weeks for this year. And I love that. I think that's great. We're talking today about achieving godly success. We're looking at what it takes to be great. And I'm going to start with these two little boys. I got to tell you about Chad, who is 8, and Fred, who is 10. You probably know them, and you probably have heard about their mischievousness. They were always getting into trouble. And their parents could be assured if any mischief occurred in their town, it was usually those two that were involved in it in some way. And so the parents, they were at their wits' end, not knowing what to do. And so mom called up her pastor, which typically that does happen, and because she knew that her pastor was successful in disciplining children in the ways of God. And so she asked her husband, should we do this? Should we send the boys to talk to our pastor? And the husband said, well, we might as well. We need to do something to be successful in the eyes of God. And so he said, this is one way we can do it. We can send our boys to the pastor. And so the pastor agreed to speak with the boys and spend a bit of time. But he said, I want to see them one at a time. I'm not seeing them together. So he said, I want to see the 8-year-old first. So Chad's got to be the first one. So Chad went to meet the pastor. And pastors, you know, sometimes pastors can, you know, they're fun-loving, but they can also kind of exude a little bit of a, you know, like most Christians, you know, like that kind of I'm better than you are attitude, you know. And so this pastor sat down, Chad sat down, and asked him, the pastor asked him very sternly, he said, where's God? And the boy, Chad didn't know what to do. He didn't respond. And so the pastor thought, well, he must be a little hard of hearing or listening to direction. So he said, where is God? And again, little Chad, he was sitting there shaking a little bit in his seat now. You know how most of you are right now. Shaking a little bit. And the pastor, again, he raised his finger and he said, where is God? And with that, Chad just bolted from the room. And he ran directly home. He slammed the door, hiding himself in this closet. But he didn't notice Fred, his older brother. He didn't know why. But once he saw Chad running, he ran too, as fast as he could, followed Chad into that closet. And they're in that closet. And Fred goes, what happened? And Chad goes, We're in big trouble this time, Fred. We're in big trouble. God is missing, and they think we did it. What does it take to be great? I think every one of us, we want desperately to achieve godly success. I want to assure you, first of all, that God knows our desire. I want you to take that with you today. God is pleased even in our desire to be successful in our relationship with Him. So even if you think you haven't gotten it yet, your desire to get that relationship with God right is what you need to take with you today. God is pleased with you in just wanting it. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 6. It's one of my favorite passages, actually. Acts chapter 6. And just follow along as I read this passage. It's a great passage. Some of you have probably maybe even read it before and noticed some things in here, but I'm going to read Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." One of the ways that you can be successful in the eyes of God is by doing what He says. By doing what He asks of you to do. Now, I wonder if maybe that day the apostles were just having a really bad day. I mean, maybe they just didn't really feel right and they didn't really want to feel like, "I don't want to serve tables. I don't want to serve tables. So I'll try and find somebody else to serve them." That's not their attitude. You see, they were serving people by spending time praying and studying the Word and bringing the Word to them. Just like when I come, I spend time praying and developing the ministry of the Word. That's what I do. When I do that, I'm serving the body of Christ. When Brandon prays for each service, the songs carefully chosen before God, he prays about that. It's not like we don't just slap things together. We pray so that God is glorified. We're serving the body of Christ that way. When Pastor Peter, he prays about where God, he wants to God lead him where he's got to be visiting and where he's got to be serving the body of Christ. This isn't something that we just do. We develop it by prayer, much prayer. Doesn't mean that I'm a big shot, I won't do those kind of things. I mean, you would not want to eat my cooking. I mean, I can vouch for that. You would not want me serving on table. In fact, yesterday I had a wedding, and you know it was great. We were driving back, and I was telling Joan, that's my wife, today I said, "Oh, tomorrow," I said, "I got to be there early." She said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I got to help cook pancakes." And she paused for a momentarily, and when she regained consciousness, she said, "Who asked you to do that?" And she was very kind about it. I said, our superintendent, Barbara Wursta, she's putting together this breakfast, and she asked me to come flip pancakes. And she said, "Oh, I tell you what, dear, I'll flip pancakes for you. You just do what you do well. You just stand around and talk all the time, because that's kind of what you do, supervise, you know," because she knew that those pancakes would be burnt. Because I'd be sitting there going, how's it going over there? And I'd be letting them burn. And you, fire department, you know, they can only work so much on Sunday, so I wouldn't want them here. But I know what I'm called to do. And I know what I'm called not to do. And I've given myself to what I'm called to do. Presented myself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We please God when we do what He's called us to do. And it's interesting here, I love this, because look at verse 3. "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you." It doesn't matter who they are. Choose them. We don't care what they are like. We don't care if, you know, they don't really want to minister at the tables. No. Says, "Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." They look for people full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. our society would have us think or have us believe, well, to do that, you don't need any kind of gifting. You don't need any kind of talent. Let me tell you something. I think you need to be more full of the Holy Spirit to be a servant than any other job you will ever do. Because when you're up front in ministry, you kind of get some encouragement along the way. You kind of receive a few laughs or maybe even a couple of notes, or even when you do an offertory, people kind of acknowledge you. You get some kind of feedback. But people who are behind the scenes, doing the servant type jobs, working in the nursery, children's church, I mean, they change diapers and they I don't even want to know what goes on in there. They, eating Cheerios, I don't know, trying to calm a child. I don't want to know that. But I tell you what, God knows their heart. And if you're doing what you're doing as unto the Lord, that is achieving godly success. Amen? You've got to be full of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be full of wisdom to do the ministry of teaching Sunday school, of teaching children, of being in the nursery so you don't let anybody down, including yourself. Don't let anybody make you think you're little because you don't have some big fancy title in front of your name. It's not what you are, nor what you have been that God sees with his all-merciful eyes, but what you desire to be. God sees the heart. But we're into questions all the time. I don't know, I don't know if the nursery's for me. I don't know. I don't think the children's church is my bag. I don't know. I come and I don't like that. It's about me. Isn't it about me? I think that's about me. Isn't it about me? I tell you what, this is what I do. I pray first and ask questions later. I pray first, God. God, what do you want me to speak on? Why, God? Why do you want me to speak on this? Because, Dev, I don't want you making pancakes for the breakfast. And I hope you get it. I want you to pray. I want you to be in the Word. I want you to study the Word so you can preach it to the people. There are other people who can cook pancakes. They're full of the Spirit. They're full of wisdom. See, we get concerned about what we think that other people should be doing, not what we should be doing. Because the enemy's good at that. Start thinking, well, I can't do that. I can't do it. I want to please people. Why? You can't go around being concerned about what everybody else thinks of who you are and call yourself a servant. You're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a servant, not of people, but of Jesus. But because you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can serve people. Not please people, but you can serve them. I love this, 1 Peter 5:8, because, I think sometimes we kind of get off on tangent and we start saying, well, I can't please anybody, so I'm just going to be this way and I don't care what people think. And or else we'll go the opposite end and, oh, I got to please you. Oh, yeah, can I help you? Yes. And we can go the opposite. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. I love this. Be well balanced. For your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he would devour. Be well balanced. We have to be balanced. We can't be off on one tangent saying, well, God told me this, so that's too bad for you. I'm sorry that you're upset. Or the other end is like, what do you want? What do you want? I'll change everything in my life to make you happy. I'll please you instead of God. I have to be well balanced. Can you say, I have to be well balanced? You got it. You've got it. The greatest joy came over me when I realized that I only serve God. You don't get your worth and value from a position, what you do. Only Jesus Christ gives you value, gives you worth, and when you do what he created you to do, your joy increases because you know that you're on your way to be successful with God. So there's a little healthy check. I do a motive check, and I think we all need to every once in a while. I need to ask myself, why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And if I can't come up with the right answers, I better spend a couple of days with God. Because we can have the right answers in our life sometimes and kind of get off balance. In fact, I think the world is like a giant magnet. It's just kind of pulling us in a direction, and before you know it, you're going in the wrong direction because the magnet has sucked you up and you don't even know what's happened. God, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Godly success requires obedience, and that's obedience. But it also requires others. I love this. Verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them, so the word of God spread. Now, we should want to please God by doing what he calls us to do. First and foremost, I want to be God. And secondly, I want to be a blessing everywhere I go. I want people to see Jesus. And at verse 3, I love that. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Why would that be in there? I mean, these people, they're just waiting on tables. They're just simply to serve a table. Because the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. So if you have the Holy Spirit, if I have the Holy Spirit living in me, he's called the Helper, then how can I keep from wanting to help people? Do you want to help people? Everybody say, I just want to help somebody. Say it again like you really mean it. I just want to help somebody. Anybody who wants to minister or serve God or achieve godly success must serve. You must help somebody. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you, everybody who wants to minister must serve, but if the motive is to get famous or to be popular or stand up front, get pats on the back, or then that's not serving. And God is not in that. And without God, you can't get very far if you're trying to serve like that. Without God, you can't help others. In fact, you become miserable without God. And then you begin making everybody else miserable. It's what happens. I love this. I'm saying so many loves today. But I love the One Another Project. The Love One Another Project. I love it. Because, and I shared this with the other, there are many things that the Christian does that we don't need Christ for. But loving one another is not one of them. Because you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to figure out, who am I supposed to encourage this week? I got to get a little note out, a little piece of paper. What am I going to put down on there? How am I going to encourage them? You need God to do that. You can't do it without him. Because there are going to be people that come across your path that you're just not even going to want to encourage. But only Jesus, only our Lord, can give you the passion to encourage people even when you don't want to. To love people even when you think you can't. You can't do it without him. I remember in the early days of our ministry, my poor wife, Joan, and I mean, I'd work hard. She would too, but I'd prepare and I'd study and I'd practice in front of a mirror. And then I'd have to practice in front of Joan. You got to hear my sermon, you know, and she'd have to sit there and go, you know. And I preached to her, you know. Well, the guy, you guys are probably going, hey, this sounds great. Man, I should be a pastor. But, you know, and I'd plead my heart. I'd come and I'd preach a message and I just plead my heart. And then I'd be done preaching and people would go through and they, thank you, you know. I'd get home that afternoon and I'd go, nobody appreciates me. Party's over. I'm just left with a mess now, Lord. And I'd go home and I'd try and get ready for the next one. And I'd be sniffling and whimpering. And then I'd start finding something wrong with Joan. I'd start thinking, you know, little subtle things. First of all, you know, well, you don't ever encourage me. Joan never said, you haven't conned me in a long time. Fine for you. You don't have to sweat and toil all day. I do. I'm preparing for Sunday's meeting. You don't know what it's like to sweat and toil. It's fine for you. I'll go and do the work. And then it'll go from bad to worse, to worse, to worse. Nobody loves me. And then it goes to this. I feel like I'm everybody's slave and nobody loves me. Or we go to the opposite extreme. You don't do anything for me, so I'm not going to do anything for you. You know, if you need encouragement, instead of getting mad at everybody that you think isn't giving to you, why don't you just tell God what you need and let Him give it to you? That's what prayer is. And I'll tell you, when I actually sat down and God opened my eyes, my wife does an incredible ministry that she sweats and toils for, and I wasn't encouraging her. You know, when you get to that point where you think, well, I'm something special, sometimes you don't even know why the way you feel. You just feel something. But isn't it true that when you start feeling that way, you just start getting mad at everybody and everything around you? And so I started learning, God, I'd say, God, I just need you to do something for me. I need something. I need some encouragement. I need something special in my life, God. Help me out. Let me know I'm doing it, that I'm on the right track, because no one else is coming to tell me, God. And I've discovered that if you go to God, God speaks to somebody and then God works through those people and all of a sudden, boom, it's starting to happen. And that's the Love One Another project. When we do what God calls us to do, we don't only achieve godly success, but we become a success to people around us. It's important to become, it's vitally critical that we get involved in other people's lives. That's the mark of a servant. Children's Church, I told you last week, there are four opportunities and they're going fast. Now there's three. Nursery, prayer. There are so many areas God is presenting and saying, look, use your gift. Be a blessing. A person who's a servant could do great things for God. Stephen, following in that passage, did great wonders and signs among the people. And the great thing about it being a servant for God is that you can do great things for God if you're willing to serve God. But I tell you what, our world needs this. They are in need to see the evidence of Jesus serving throughout this world. On the job, in our neighborhood, the fruit of the Spirit flows through by meeting people's needs in ways you don't even know how. Not about you, but other people around you. That's achieving godly success. Presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing before God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is our calling. This is why we were created. To be obedient to God so that you could serve other people around you. I'm going to ask for that video, Joe, to be played again. I want you to watch it carefully again. I played it last week, but you need to see it. You need to be reminded of it. Joe, would you please play it? We'll be right back. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you just one simple question. Have you given God all of you? Have you given God all of you? That means everything. That means you're hurt. That means your pain, the turmoil. That may even be what you want, the desire that you have in your heart. Have you given your all to God? God, in the silence, we can't even understand how you could serve us in such a way that you gave up all your rights. You gave up everything that appears to be success. And you sacrificed. You sacrificed for us in order to show us the blessing. God, we know that being a servant is uncomfortable. We know that there's real no glory in there. We know that it's not about what we want, it's about what you want. So God, today I pray, as I was through the service, God, fill us. Fill us till we're overflowing, God, with your Spirit. May we really, truly present ourselves as living sacrifices to you. May we worship you and you alone, so that you may have all the glory. And it is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the supreme servant, that we pray. Amen.